Today's daf is Nida Mem Hey. We're going to continue with the last line in the Mishnah, which was talking about Bat Shalosh Shanim V'Yom Echad, a three-year-old in one day, different laws about her. And we said that less than 3 years in one day, the last line in the Mishnah was, Kinotein Etzba Ba'ayin. It's like putting a finger in the eye. So now we're going to understand why exactly it says that. In order to get there, we're going to start with a question. Question about something else relating to a Betulah, a virgin who is 3 years old, or really about signs of virginity among a young girl. Ibailu, hani betulin mezal az leva'atu, odilma itstude hu delo mitstude ad la'achar shlosha. So what does this question mean? This means, okay, I'm going to find this a little odd, if a man sleeps with a woman under 3 years of age, or has sexual relations with her, so what happens to her bitulim, her hymen? Does her hymen tear and then grow back again? That means mezal azlevatu, it goes and comes back. Or do we say it's dude hu delo mitatzde, meaning they're not actually taken away, meaning having sexual relations with her under age three is not going to do anything to her hymen. Okay, so now, lemai nafkamina, the Gemara asks, what's the relevance of this question? You might have wondered. Kigon shebaal betoch shlosha or b'shalosh v'matza dam u'baal achar shalosh v'lo matza dam. So let's say somebody sleeps with her within the first 3 years, finds blood, okay, meaning it looks like her hymen was torn, and ba'al achar shalosh v'lo matza dam, and then has relations with her afterwards and doesn't find any blood. So now, iamart mezal az leva'atu, if you say she loses them, meaning she could tear her hymen and then it gets repaired again, it kind of goes back together and then will be torn in the future. Then you can say, so why didn't it bleed the second time? Shehutu de lo havile lehu. We can assume that it wasn't, she didn't wait long enough for it to heal, and that's why there was no blood. Ela iamart itzdudehu de lo mitatzde adla chargimo. But if you say nothing really happens to it until 3 years, ha acher ba'aleha mai. So then what happens if someone would... the assumption is that what? If you don't see blood, it must be somebody slept with her in the meantime. In which case we'd say, what's going to be the law? Which, in other words, my really here must mean, it's a bit of a strange usage, but it must mean, so what's the case? In other words, do we say that the assumption is somebody else slept with her in the interim? And the assumption is that what we mean here is she maybe was betrothed to someone already. He had sexual relations with her once before age three and once after age three. That's what makes this case a little bit difficult to swallow. And then if he doesn't find blood the second time, since we assume that the hymen wasn't really torn the first time, even though she did see blood, we can assume that she must have slept with someone in the interim. And this considers her then a zona. And then she'd be disqualified for eating truma and for marrying a kohen. Because those things are disqualified for a zona. So that's the first reading of this. But matzkev le Rav Chiya bered Rav Ika uman lemalan demakasha betoch shalosh ena chuzer el alter. What's to make you think that it takes time for it to be healed, basically? And we can assume that right away it should have been healed. Shema chuzer el alter. Or maybe we can assume that it could have been immediately healed, in which case... And then you'd have to assume in both cases someone must have slept with her, because that's why she's not bleeding the second time. You know, it's either which way she should bleed the second time. So therefore, that's not a good nafkamina, because a nafkamina would have to be this difference in each opinion, and this would be the same both ways. Ela nafkamina. So the Gemara answers, let me give you a different nafkamina. Kigon Shaba'al Batoch Shalosh Umatsadam. Now we're going to say, okay, so now he slept with her within the first 3 years and he found blood. Sorry, I didn't read that well. Ba'al Batoch Gimel Umatsadam. Sorry, he did, right. Oh, he did see blood the first time. Uba'al La'achar Gimel Umatsadam. And then he sleeps with her the second time and also finds blood. Okay, now. Before we said the second time he didn't find blood and we thought that maybe she slept with someone in the interim. But now they're going to say no. The real nafkamina is when she finds blood both times. What's going to be the nafkamina? We'll see. It's going to be different than the last, what we thought. Iyamart mezal azlevatu. If we think it goes and then you lose them the first time and then it heals and then you lose them a second time, well, that makes perfect sense then. Hai dam betulim hu. Then the dam, both of these bloods were dam betulim. Ela iyamart. It's du dehu de lo mitzadeh. But if you say, really, she doesn't lose her virginity the first time, or not that she doesn't lose her virginity, I should really phrase it in, she doesn't, right, I'm trying to translate, betulim. It really means she doesn't tear her hymen the first time. Ela ad la'achar shalosh, right, only after 3 years, then what's the blood that she sees the first time? It's not from tearing the hymen. Haidam nidahu. It's actually nida blood. What do we learn? That from already 1 day old, if she has bleeding, we assume that it's from her period. Or, you know, she has all of the impurities of a woman who's menstruating. So we now say that blood she must have seen the first time wasn't from the torn hymen, it was from nida blood. And then she'd have to wait the impurity days. And then we say my. Okay, so then there's the question of, well, that's the nafkamina, and what's going to be the halacha? So I'm Rav Chista. Rav Chista says, Tashma, let's learn from the following source. Now we go back to our Mishnah. Pachot, finally we get to see what the connection of our Mishnah is. Pachot mikan, less than 3, kinoten etzba ba'ayin. Lamali lemitne kinoten etzba ba'ayin. Why do we have to say it's like putting a finger in your eye that keeps causing the tearing? Litne pachot mikan velo klum. If you wanted to say that under 3, having intercourse is nothing and doesn't cause bleeding or anything, then you would have said nothing. It's nothing. So therefore they say, my love, ha kamashmalan, is it not that it's coming to teach you, ma ayim medamat v'chozeret u'medamat, af betulim mezal azle v'atu. It must come to teach you that when it comes to having intercourse before age 3, it will tear her hymen, but it will come back. And that's the image of putting the finger in the eye and the eye continually tears. Now we get a case that's connected with our Mishnah, a braita that's similar, that describes the case that we're going to talk about. Maase biyustini Justine bito shel Asvirus ben Antoninus. Okay, the son of Asvirus, the daughter of Asvirus, who is the son of Antoninus, right? Roman. Shabbat lefnei Rebbe. She comes before Rebbe. Amar lo Rebbe. Isha b'kama niseit. She says, at what age does a girl get married? Amarla, or can one get married? Amarla, bat shalosh shanim v'yom echad. One can get married already from the age of 3 and a day. Ubekama, right, this is relevant when the midrash, you know, about Rivka, that she was 3 years old when she got married. Maybe part of the reason they say 3, there's all different reasons why people say they say she was 3 when she got married, but notice 3 connects with the youngest age a girl can get married. So at 3 she can get married, 3 and a day. Ubekama mitaberet, and when can she get pregnant, she asks. Amarla, bat 12 shana v'yom achad, 12 years and a day. Amarlo, so she says back to him, ani niseiti b'shesh v'yaladati b'sheva. I was married at age 6 and I gave birth at age 7. And now she continues to say, oy l'shalosh shanim sha'avadati b'beit abba. She says, oy vavoy, you know, oy to me that I could have gotten married at age 3, instead of having waited to age 6, and all that time I lost, that I was stuck in my father's house, I could have been married. Okay, an interesting thing she says. And now the Gemara wants to ask, Umimi Abra, could she really get pregnant at age 7? The story doesn't make any sense. Vahatane Rebbe Kamede Rav Nachman. Rebbe says in front of Rav Nachman, Gimel Nashim Misham Shop B'moch. There's 3 women who are allowed to have sexual relations using a moch. A moch was like a tampon type of implement that they would put in to block the semen from going in, basically contraceptives. Ktana, me'uberet, u'minika. Okay, these are the 3 women, a young girl, someone who's pregnant, and someone who's nursing. Ktana, shema titaber b'tamut. Say a young girl, because if she gets pregnant, it's actually dangerous. She might die. Me'uberet, shema ta'aseh u'baras sandal. They were worried that having sexual relations while she was, right, if semen went into her body, not actually having sexual relations, but having the semen go into her body might cause the fetus to become a sandal. That makes sense in the light of what we talked about, a sandal. If you remember, it means where she could get impregnated again, another fetus would develop, and that would crush, one fetus would crush the other and make it kind of flat-faced and flat-bodied. A minika, shema tigmola b'navi yamut. These are all beliefs they had about what might happen to someone if they got pregnant while they were in the following situation. One who's nursing, because what would happen? It might end up, right, her milk would dry up and the baby would die. Ve'ezo hi ktana, and what's a ktana in this source that they talk about, that it's dangerous for her to get pregnant, she could die. But yud aleph shana v'yom achad, 11 years and one day. Va'ad yud bet shana v'yom achad. Okay, from the range of 11 years to 12 years, meaning into the 12th year, the whole 12th year, right, would be the age of a ktana in this source. Pachomikat oyetermikan mishameshet v'holechet. Any less than this or any more than this, right, that's the age that's dangerous, that she could die. But younger than this, there's no problem. She doesn't even need a moch because she's not going to get pregnant. So it sounds like she can't get pregnant under age 11. So how did she possibly say that she gets pregnant at age 7? And then the Chachamim disagree. We're still in the source. Achad zo v'achad zo meshameshet kidarkah. Okay, each of these women that we listed can actually have sexual relations normally without using a moch. Umin hashamayim yiruchamu, but you know, God should have rachmanut on this woman. Shene'emar shomer p'te'im Hashem. Okay, in other words, now there's two ways to understand this. Either the whole thing started with, these are the following women who are mishameshet b'moch. So some people say this means those women are allowed to, and these women are, and the Chachamim say these women actually aren't allowed to, and hopefully God will protect them. Which is a bit difficult to swallow, again, because, you know, you wouldn't want to do something dangerous and just say, oh, I hope God helps me, right? That's not generally our way of approaching things. Another option to read it is they don't have to be mishamesh b'moch. They should, but they don't have to. And if they don't, let's hope that God will help them. Okay? But then it's not a matter of it's saying they can be mishamesh kedarka, but they also can use a moch if they want. So now we have to understand, this is all a question about this woman, Justine. How did she say that she got pregnant at age 7 when, according to the source, you could only really get pregnant at age 11? So, Ibait Ema Asher Basar Chamurim Basaram. Okay, here's a pasuk where we're talking about Te'agena Ala Pilag Shehem. Okay, it's about the Pilag Shim. Asher Basar Chamurim Basaram Vizirmat Susim Zram Tam. Okay, it's about non-Jewish women, and we're saying, non-Jewish women, they have strong desires, and because of that, they could actually get pregnant at a younger age. So that's also a bit hard source to understand. V'yibayit ema, second option, asher p'yem diber shav yiminam yimin sheker. Okay, I don't know if this is any better, but this is saying, she was just exaggerating, right? She was lying. Here's another pasuk saying, people lie, and she might have just been lying, and therefore, you know, just look at it as exaggeration. She didn't actually really give birth at age 7. Tanu Rabbanan, we're going to have another story now. Ma'ase b'isha achat sheba lefnei Rabbi Akiva. Amra lo, Rebbe, nivalti b'toch shalosh shanim. Now we're at a Jewish woman. She says to Rabbi Akiva, I had sex under less than age 3. Ma ani lekuna, can I marry a Kohen? Yeah, the fact that you slept around before you were 3 years old, right? Hard to understand again, but you're allowed to marry a Kohen. Amralo Rebbe, I'm sholacha mashalama davar dome. Let me explain to you, Rebbe, how it went. Dome, right, Rebbe Akiva. Dome letinok shetamnolo etzba'o bedvash. I'm like a child that they stuck his finger into the honey. Pam rishona ushniago erba. The first two times he says, "Ichs, honey, that's all sticky and disgusting." Shlishit matzitsa. This third time you give it to the baby, I said, "Wow, this is really yummy." He sucks it up. That's like it was for me. The first two times I had sex under age 3, it was disgusting, but the third time I actually really enjoyed it. So amarla im kem psula at lekiuna. Oh, well, if you're going to say that you enjoyed it, then you're disqualified from marrying a kohen. That puts you in the zonah category. Ra'a tamidim istaklim zevaseh, looked at his students who were looking at each other, like, what did Rabbi Akiva just say? Amar lahem, lama devar kasheh b'enichem, what's so difficult for you? Amrulei, they said to him, kashem shekola Torah, halacha l'moshe misinai, kap chuta mibat shalosh shanim, kshera l'kuna, halacha l'moshe misinai. Just like all the Torah was passed down to Moshe at Sinai, likewise, this halacha of under 3, she's kshera l'kuna, is halacha l'moshe misinai. And why are you saying it all depends on whether she was pleasurable for her or not? Let's hear Rabbi Akiva's reaction. V'af Rabbi Akiva lo amara ela lechadeh ba'et ha-talmidim. Now they say that Rabbi Akiva only said this to sharpen his students, meaning to test them to see if they were paying attention, because they were in fact right. That it has nothing to do with whether she enjoys the experience or not. It just has to do with what age she was. So now it seems strange. Why did he answer the woman? It seems a little odd that he would answer the woman if really that's not the halacha. So some people explain that what he was saying is she thought it had to do with that. And he was saying, well, if you think it has to do with that, well, then, you know, according to your logic, you wouldn't be k'shera l'kehuna. But according to halacha, it really is. Okay, it still seems strange. You know, I would hope that he corrected himself with that woman and explained to her that he didn't really mean it. He was only saying according to your logic, but really your logic is not accurate. Okay, next Mishnah. Oh, this, by the way, is very relevant. Okay, we say a woman is not considered a zonah if she slept around under age 3. In general, what the definition of a zonah is kind of complicated. We don't say that. Let me get into where this is relevant. Okay, this under 3. I want to get into all the halachot of a zonah, but there's another halacha that's relevant, which is a giyoret, a convert, is not allowed to marry a kohen. And one might think that it would only be a convert from the age of 3, because theoretically, in other words, part of the issue is that we view a convert as in an automatic category of zonah. But because for some reason, the halacha, we paskin that it's even a convert who converted to Judaism before the age of 3. Okay, so we make a distinction there, and there we say it's even from birth, for example. So that creates all sorts of issues in terms of who can marry who, and people marrying Kohanim, and this is very relevant nowadays. Okay, new Mishnah. Ben tesha shanim v'yom achad shabal yivim to kena'a. Okay, now we're getting up to 9. Okay, 9 years is much more relevant for a male, because for women it's at age 3 for girls, where they're considered of age to have sexual relations. For a boy, it's at age 9 and a day. So a boy that's age 9 and a day, Shabal Yivimto, if he sleeps with, he has sexual relations with the Yivama, the woman who is married to his brother, and the brother died without having children, Kana'a. Okay, he acquires her. Ve'ein notein get ad she yigdil. But he can't actually divorce her until he's of age till he gets to age 13. Umitame benida letame mishkav tachton ke'elyon. Okay, if he sleeps with his wife when she's in nida, so he's mitame, like we learn, mishkav tachton ke'elyon, right? Like his mishkav emoshav arishon l'tumah, as opposed to being an avatuma. And he himself becomes an avatuma. Uposel. Okay, when he's posel, a woman, if he sleeps with a woman, right, and he's a person who's not allowed to sleep with a woman, right, let's say he's a mamzer, and he sleeps with a woman, so she now becomes forbidden to a kohen. Ve'eino ma'achil b'truma, okay, he can't allow his wife to eat truma. Uposel et ha-be'ema me'al gabei ha-mizbeach. Sorry, I want to just clarify. The posel ve'eino ma'achil ota b'truma. Okay, so what does this mean? This means that if he's the eino ma'achil ota b'truma is talking about the kohen who sleeps with the woman, the yevama, in order to consummate the levirate marriage. The rabbi said that we're going to not view this as a full marriage yet. It's only like when, we talked about this the other day. There's something called ma'amar, which is like the betrothal in marriage. There's two stages. There's betrothal and marriage. So in Yibum, there's ma'amar, which is considered the betrothal, where it kind of takes on saying he's going to marry her. And then in the event when they don't do chalitza, and then the marriage is consummated only through sexual relations. In this case, we say that between the ages of 9 and 13, if he sleeps with her, it's only in the context of creating a ma'amar, which means that he's not actually fully married to her. It doesn't have all the all the benefits. She doesn't have all the benefits of being married to him. Like, for example, if he's a Kohen, she can't eat truma. Okay. If he, the man, or the boy who's 9 or 10, sleeps with an animal, has sexual relations with the animal, then the animal can't go on the mizbeach. Beniskelet al yado, and then based on that act, we give the animal skila for having had sexual relations with a human being. Ve'im ba'al achat mikol ha'arayot ha'morot b'torah, mumatin al yado, v'hu patur. Okay, again, we had the same thing with the woman, that it's considered sexual relations, so if she was a gdola, she will be killed, but he isn't because he's not yet of age to get punished. Okay, so now the Gemara starts asking some questions. So now it sounds like, right, that was the Mishnah. He gives her a get only when he's older. But now they say, when he's older, it's enough to give her a get. Bahatanya, didn't they say, asubiat ben tesha kimamar begadol? We said that a biat ben tesha is like ma'amar. That's what I just said before, right? Just like the ma'amar of an older person, right? So the older person does ma'amar. That means he's betrothed to her, but it doesn't mean it's actually, right, that he's finished the fulfilling the chiyuv of yibum. So now they say, ma ma'amar gadol tzarich get lema'amaro v'chalitza lezikato. If he wants to get rid of her, meaning divorce her, let's say, okay, so he does ma'amar if he's gadol, and then he says, oh, I really don't want to be married to her. So what does he have to do? He has to do two things. Number one, he has to give a get for the ma'amar, just like if you do kiddushin without nisuin, you have to give a get. But since you haven't fulfilled yibum, you still have the chiyuv of yibum, and in order to get out of yibum, you have to do chalitza. So if we're going to say that the biyat ben tesha is like a ma'amar of a gadol, then theoretically he should need not only get, but also chalitza. So af biat ben tesha tzarich get lema'amaro v'chalitza lezikato. So now they say Amar Rav. Rav says hachi kamar. This is what it means. L'chesha yavdil yiv'ol v'yitain get. When it means that when he gets of age, what should he do? He should have sexual relations with her. In other words, assuming he had sexual relations with her once he became a gadol, then all he needs to do is a get. But if he didn't, then he would have to give her a get and chalitza. New Mishnah. Bat 11 shana. We're back to the girl. Though this one, she's going to talk about a girl and a boy. So bat 11 shana v'yom echad nidareha nivdekim. She's 11 in a day, so her nidarim get checked. What does that mean? If she makes a vow, we check to see if she, was she really old enough to understand the significance of what she was saying. If yes, then her nidar is valid. If not, then her vow is not valid. Bat 12 shana v'yom echad nidareha kayamim. Once she turns 12 in a day, anything she, any vow she makes is automatically considered valid. Ubot king kol 12, okay, and the year of the 12th year between age 11 and a day until 12 and a day, we check that entire year. The Gemara is going to have to ask why we need all these lines, because it should be kind of obvious one from the other. Ben 12 shana v'yom echad, now we get to the boy. When he's 12 in a day, nidarav nivdekim. Okay, so the same thing, a girl 11 in a day, for him it's 12 in a day. So we check to see if he was old enough, if he understood what he was doing. Ben 13 shana v'yom echad, when he gets to 13 in a day, nidarav kayamin, ubotkin kol 13. And then, right, so again, 13 in a day already, it's all fine. And the whole 13th year, from the age of 12 in a day to 13 in a day, we check. Kodem lezman hazeh, if it's before that time, af al pi shamru yodim anu l'shem min nadarnu, if it's earlier than that, right, what happens if it's before 11 and a day, or before 12 and a day for a boy, and 11 and a day for the girl? Af al pi shamru yodim anu l'shem min nadarnu l'shem min hikdashnu, ein idrehem neder. Even if they seem to be a very smart young child, we still, and they understood who they were, what they were making a neder for, and who they were making the neder for, or who they were promising their hekdesh. If they promised something to the Beit HaMikdash, then their vow is not valid. Ve'ein hekdeshan hekdesh, right? So, ein nidrehem neder ve'ein hekdeshan hekdesh. So their neder, their vow is not a vow, and their sanctification is not considered sanctified. La'achar hazman hazeh, above the age of 13 and a day for a boy, or 12 and a day for a girl, Afa pishamru ein anu yodim l'shemi nadarnu l'shemi hikdashnu nidran neder v'kdeshan hikdesh. Even if they say, I had no idea what I was talking about, it doesn't make a difference, it's valid. both their vow and their sanctification. Okay, so now, there's a lot of things that seemed unnecessary in this Mishnah, right? You could have said it much simpler. Everything was kind of obvious once you said few of the basics. So now the Gemara says, "V'kevin detana bat achat esrei shana v'yomacha nidareh nivdekim, bat 12 shana v'yomacha nidareh kayamin." Right? Once you had those two lines, once you had 11 in a day nidareh are checked, bat 12 shana v'yomacha nidareh kayamin lamale. What did you need the second line for? You could have just assumed that if she had to check at age 11, the assumption is, but by age 12, obviously, it would all be valid. So the Gemara says, Sakadata Chamina, Bodkin Le'olam. No, you might have thought, maybe we check from age 11 going up forever. Kamash Malan, that no, it ends at 12. V'kevan, so now they're going to continue to ask, though. V'kevan detane bat 12 shana v'yomacha nedarea kayamin, Bodkin kol 12 lamali. So why did you need to say we check the whole 12th year? Seem very obvious. You say we check at 11 in a day, and then at 12 in a day, we don't need to check any, right? It's automatically. So you'd assume that for the whole 12th year, we would check. So why do you need to tell us that? Sakadata Chamina, you might have thought, Ho'il v'amamar shloshim yom b'shana chashuvim shana. We learned this already, right? That people say that 30 days is already considered a whole year. You might have thought, Kevan de badakna shloshim v'lo yad'a lahaflot. If we already see that in the first month of the 11th year, she doesn't really understand anything, you might have thought, Emma Tulo Livdok, maybe we don't need to check anymore, and we can just assume that any neder she makes until she gets to age 12 is not going to be valid. Ka mashmalan. Okay, therefore, it comes to teach you now, just because in the first month she knew what was happening, it could be that by the time she gets to age 12 in a day, you know, maybe 11 and a half, she already has much more understanding, right? Anyone... And you see kids and how they develop, and sometimes in 3 months they mature a lot. In fact, a lot in that bar bat mitzvah year, there's a lot of maturing that goes on. And this is basically saying, you know, just because they're not so mature at the beginning of the year doesn't mean they won't be mature in the middle of the year. Now they're still going to ask. So that explains why we have 11 in a day they check. Then it tells us 12 in a day it's all valid, because that means, right, we're going to, the first thing was to tell you that, you don't have to check anymore. And then it's also telling you, but you do have to check the entire year. You can't just assume that we go by whatever happens in the first month. So why didn't they just say the following two sections and then we'd have known everything? Why didn't it just say, 12 in a day, it's all valid. And the whole 12th year we check. And then you didn't need which line? The first one. Why did you need that line then? So now they say, itzdrich. No, you needed it. Why? You might have thought, stam, at age 12, she needs a bedika. In the 12th year, she needs a bedika. But in the 11th, right, the whole 11th year, she doesn't need a bedika. But maybe you would say, if there was a really smart young girl that really, you could see she gets everything, you might have thought that maybe she would need a check, and therefore, kamash malam, that's why they say, to teach you that, no, we never check before that. It's just to give you an extra, no way do we check before that age. Now the Gemara says, but still we're left with fine. So we understand why you need all those three sentences. But kodem azman hazeh, v'achar azman hazeh, lamali. Why did the Mishnah need to say, before that and after that, before that we don't check, and after that it's always valid? That seemed pretty clear also from everything. So salkadata chamina hanemi lehecha deloka amre inhu. That's only if they don't tell us anything. Meaning that if, right, everything we said before could be in the case where they don't specify anything at all. Aval hecha deka amre inhu nismochalayu. But if they already volunteer the information and say, oh yeah, I know exactly what I was talking about, maybe we would. Maybe we would say, this has nothing to do with age, it all has to do with their knowledge. Ka mashmalan. Therefore, it came to specify, okay, here what you have going on in the mission is, the reason why they keep repeating, or at least why the Gemara thinks they keep repeating, is because This is the kind of thing that's dependent on knowledge and understanding. And that is a very different age for different kids. And for whatever reason, even though all over we see in the Mishnayot, the chinuch is different ages for different things, this mission is basically coming to say, even though right nowadays it's kind of 12, 13, those are the ages, but in the time of the Mishnah, it was really, it depended on, you know, a katane yodeh lenaneh. If you know how to shake a lulav, you're already chayav in lulav. And there were all different halachot that were based on your capabilities. This Mishnah is telling you that when it comes to neder, it's really not so much based on your capabilities. Only in that 12th year or 13th year for the boy, 12th for the girl, do we start to check, well, it depends where you fall on the scale. But under that or over that, there's no debate at all. It's basically clear. We're just going to view it either over that, we're going to count it as valid, and under that, we're going to count that as invalid, not really having to do with your knowledge. Tanu Rabbanan, Elu Divrei Rebbe. Everything we saw until now about the ages is all Divrei Rebbe. Okay, this was Rebbe's opinion. But, and here we're going to find something interesting, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Dvarim Hamurim B'Tinoket, B'Tinok Hamurim. It's actually flipped. Okay, believe it or not, right? We think bat mitzvah girls are at 12 and boys are at 13, but in some conservative communities, they actually have the girls and the boys at the same age at 13. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, neither that nor that, girls are at 13 and boys are at 12. Amar Rav Chisda, my time at the Rebbe, where does Rebbe get his idea that girls or become bat mitzvah before boys? Dichtiv vayiven Hashem Elohim et atzela. Right, this is where he took the rib from Adam to create woman. Melamech. Now, why does it say vayiven? Wasn't exactly he built. Okay, so what does it mean? Melamech. Natan Hakadosh Baruch Hu bina yitera biisha yoter mi biish. It means that, right, very famous line, that God gave extra intelligence to women more than men. Now, generally, this source is used to say that they have a certain type of understanding that men don't have. Okay, it's unclear exactly how we define bina. Different people give different interpretations. What's interesting about this sugya is bina seems to be understood as they mature before the men. It's not necessarily that they have something that men don't have, a certain type of, you know, bina, however we translate it. But here it means that they mature before the boys do. And it's a drasha on the word vayiv, on the root vayiven, instead of meaning to build, it means bina. The idach, the other opinion, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, thinks it's the opposite. So what does he do with this vayiven? Hahum ebayle, he needs it for the following drasha, lechidah Rish Lakish. Da'amar Rish Lakish, mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Manasya, vayiven Hashem Elohim et atzela, asher lakach min Adam li'isha, v'yevi'eh el Adam, melamed. What does he learn from vayiven? Shekla'a kadosh baruch hu lechava, v'hevi'ah etzel Adam arishon. God braided her hair and brought her to Adam HaRishon. Shekem b'krachei hayam ko'im l'kliata b'niyata. People call a klia, a braid, a b'niya. And from here we see that the word b'niya could be a reference to her hair being braided and that God braided her hair. And that's what it means. Okay, what's the significance of God braiding Chava's hair? Okay, it's a good question. What's the significance of this? Sounds like it has to do something with the beauty that she had and that God created her maybe in a beautiful manner, that she had this long hair that was, you know, hair is generally seen as something very beautiful that women have. Maybe it's some connection there. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, my time. So now we have to understand, why does he think it's flipped, that the boy has his bar mitzvah at 12 and the girl at 13? Amar Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak, mitoch shatinok matzoi bebeit rabo, nichnese bo armumit tchila. Okay, what does this mean? This means because he spends time out and about going to his rabbi's house, he has more intelligence. Now, this is interesting. This shows that the whole thing is societally based. Okay, that the boys go out and study, and therefore they mature earlier. Whereas the girls, because they're at home, they don't have that maturity to really understand things. It's not actually maturity, it's understanding things about the world. Right? Because they're at home more, it takes them another year to kind of catch up on understanding things that go on. Whereas the boys, it's interesting, they use the word armumit. Armumit often comes from they become a little sly or tricky in their ways, but that they kind of understand, you know, how to get around the world better. And therefore, they're at a younger age than the girls. Right now, according to this, societally, you know, things have changed somewhat, and you know, the girls also go to the Beit Rabo. They go out and learn in school. Theoretically, then one might say, based on that, you know, it would kind of be the same age at this point. And it would be the younger age, not like in some conservative communities, they do it at 13. You would say they're both at 12, actually, because they're both out and about. In general, anyway, we don't paskin like this. We paskin like Rebbe, that there's a difference between boys and girls in the opposite direction. The girls mature more, earlier. Anyway, it would be interesting to see studies about whether boys or girls mature earlier. I'm not up on all the studies, but it would be something interesting to look at. Ibai Elihu. Okay, now they ask another question. Toch zman kelifnei zman or kelachar zman? If you're in the 12th year, or in the 13th year, is that considered before? Is that considered younger or older? So what's that considered? So again, we're talking about the 12th year for the girl, meaning before her 12th birthday, and the 11th year for the boy. So the Gemara says, Lamai Hilchata, what's this question about? Ile nidarim, lav kilifnei zman damya, v'lav kalachar zman damya. We already said that it has its own unique halacha that year. So it wouldn't be before and it wouldn't be after. Remember, before it's nothing, and after it's something no matter what. And the middle year, that year exactly that we're talking about, has its own status and bodkim. Therefore, ele la'onshim must be for punishments, meaning do you get a punishment if you did something wrong in that year before bar bat mitzvah? Mai. So they ask what in fact is the halacha. Rav Rabbi Chanina da'amre travayu tochzman kilifnezman. So Rav and Rabbi Chanina say it's like before, meaning you don't get punished. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Damre Travayu, Tochzman Kala Achrasman. He says, no, in fact, it's like after and you get punished. That's Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, he wants to give you a siman, v'simanech. How do you remember who said what? V'zot lefanim b'Yisrael. Okay, lefanim means before, meaning Tochzman is going to be lefnezman, and it's a reference to Rav and Rabbi Chanina. So some people say, what's the remez here? How do you remember? So they say v'zot, zot is feminine, and Chanina's name is feminine. And that's how you remember. And B'Yisrael has the letters Rav in it. There's a Resh and there's a Beth. They're not exactly near each other, but that's how you remember Rav and Rav Chanina, Rabbi Chanina. Mativ Rav Hamnuna. So now they're going to ask a question I forgot to mention, the question here is, according to the Mefarshim, is when they say Tochzman, is it Lifnezman? They say what they mean is if in that year, in the 13th year for the boy and the 12th year for the girl, before the 12th and 13th birthday, if they have two Sa'arot, which was a siman of puberty, right, if they grow pubic hairs, then do we treat it as before or after? So now we're going to question the opinion that we treat it as before, because Rav Hamnuna says, look at our Mishnah. It says in our Mishnah, Achar zman hazeh, afa pishamru ein anu yodim l'shemi nadarnu, l'shemi hikdashnu, nedirehem neder, bekdeshan hekdesh. Now, what does that seem to imply? If it says, Achar zman zeh, it sounds like, ha toch zman kilifnei zman. It sounds like within the year before that is not considered la'achar zman, but yet l'fnei zman. So Armalei Rava, so Rava says, what kind of a disproof is that, Rav Hamnuna? Why are you saying that? Ema reisha, you could say the same thing, from kodem hazman hazeh, afal pi shamru yodim anu l'shemi nadarnu l'shemi hikdashnu, ein idrehem neder ve'ein hekdeshan hekdesh. Ha toch zman kila achar zman. If according to what you said, though, he says, look at the beginning part. So the beginning part says before this time, which would make it sound right. If it's before the 11th, the 12th year, or before the 13th year, it's nothing, which makes it sound like once it's in that year, it's considered kila achar zman, and therefore that's not a good proof, because if you prove it from achar zman, well, you can use it. We could also prove the opposite from kodem zman. So the Gemara actually rejects this proof of Rava and says, Velohi, Rava Katai. Rava actually misunderstood what Rav Hamnuna was saying. You're right, according to the way you understood it, Rava, you have a good question, but that's not what Rav Hamnuna meant. Who Sava Rav Hamnuna Mishnah Yetera Katai? He thought that he was darshaning that extra line that we said in the beginning. Isn't that an extra word? Isn't that an extra line? And if he was medayik from that line, he could just as well be medayik from the kodem hazman hazeh. Velohi. But that's not really what Rav Hamnuna meant. Rav Hamnuna migufa de matnitin kadaik. He was talking about from the Mishnah itself. Hai la'achrasman hechidami. What does it mean la'achrasman in the Mishnah? Idilo aitish te sarot katanu. If he didn't have shtei sarot, then we view him as a katan. And wouldn't we view him as a katan? Right? And therefore, meaning that when the Mishnah said la'achar zman, his neder is neder and his hektesh is a hektesh, it can't be that he didn't have shtei sarot, because if he didn't have shtei sarot, even though he got to the age, we would still call him a katan. And la'lav da'ayte shtei sarot. So it must be that he had two sarot already. And then, Tama de la'achar zman hu digamre la lamilte, and it's only because he's la'achar zman that we say, oh, now he has everything. He has both sa'arot and shanim, which would then seem to imply hatoch zman. But if he was still within the time, meaning he didn't have both sa'arot and got to the age, but he only had sa'arot, but he wasn't yet of age, kilifne zman. Okay, and then it seems to imply that you would need both sa'arot and the age, and therefore sa'arot wouldn't be enough.